The next case for hearing is Peter D. Holdings v. Wold Oil Properties. It is docket 20-8050. Counsel, when you're ready to begin, we're ready to hear you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning to all of you and to my colleague, Mr. Klosterman. My name is David Jorgensen. I'm in Tulsa. I represent Peter D. Holdings, the plaintiff below. And I think it's important to just get out there that most of the underlying facts of the case, really all of the activities except for the very last one, which is an assignment that is very much an issue here, all the contract documents, all of the dealings, all of the activities concern two companies that are the predecessor of Peter D. Holdings. One is a company called Black Diamond Energy, Inc., which is a Wyoming incorporated company with its principal place in northern Wyoming, and a company called Black Diamond Energy of Delaware, which is a Delaware company. To maybe help ease this along, I'm going to refer to the Wyoming incorporated company as Wyoming and to the Delaware incorporated company as Delaware. I don't think there's any doubt in the record or any dispute amongst counsel or the district court for that matter that there is completely common ownership between those two companies. But that their relationship comes into play, obviously, in the district court's decision. This is a lengthy opinion, and there obviously were many, many issues in this case. I think it's fair to say that the trial court, the district court, Judge Rankin, made many alternative holdings, I guess I would, is how I would characterize them, each of which was in favor of the defendants. All those basically were legal claims, except there is a very important, we say, accounting claim. And again, Judge Rankin denied any accounting to any parties, and so ruled. So,
well, maybe I could focus you on the specific performance and the farm out agreement. And I guess my question is,
be happy to do that.
You had not commenced dewatering operations by the deadline. Is that correct?
Well, I think our evidence at trial was that it was commenced. And there was testimony to that effect. I think the defendant's point was, one, it wasn't complete, and two, to the extent there was a dispute in the record in the testimony with regard to whether even commencement of dewatering occurred, and they say so, the court must defer to the trial court's holding in that regard. But I think there is testimony in the record that and dispute, frankly, about what the technical terminology even means.
Well, you have it
was commenced. So
you have a contract definition. Boy, I don't know what that. It sounds like I'm possessed, but you have a contract definition, don't you? So, you know, don't we have to use that?
Well, I think you do, and I don't have committed to memory the individual testimony of Eric Koval or the defendant's witnesses who were basically for Wold Oil Properties employees. But
you do have in your mind that the court made a credibility determination, right?
He said so. So I think the court said that. I'm not sure I understood. I'm not sure I understood why Judge Rankin made that ruling. I read it, and I just don't really know what's behind that.
Well, we don't.
Courts do it all the time, and the judge did it here, so that's just the way it is, right?
Sure. Oh, sure.
Let me cut ahead a little bit, unless I'm interrupting Judge McHugh.
Go ahead.
Okay. Talking about the contract and the substantial performance, one thing I want to get your take on, because it's really not in the briefs, touch on it in the reply brief, is the statute of limitations ruling, where Judge Rankin said on page 40, note 28, that the 10-year statute of limitations had run by the time you filed your complaint on December 28, 2017. That's right. More than 10 years after you claimed that you were owed this additional 25%. That sounds pretty solid to me. Tell me why not.
Well, I would say this. To begin with, I think he makes that ruling twice. One, that Judge Rankin does. I think one is in the claim that relates specifically to conversion, which is really a separate claim. That's a small claim dollar-wise compared to the main claim. I think there is a sentence in the midst of the discussion about the assignment and the failure to assign that refers to limitations. I don't see that very well fleshed out by the court. Not that it isn't right, but I don't see that very well fleshed out. I would say this. If you take the very earliest moments when we say the assignments should have been made more than 10 years, but at the same time, they owed us the assignments. And the us here is the Black Diamond companies that are the predecessor. They owed us the assignments and they continue to be demanded. And every day that they didn't make them was a breach, right? In other words, they didn't suddenly not owe the assignments the day after the very earliest day when we would say we should have had them.
You say continued to make demands. You say continued to make demands, but the documents in the record don't support that.
But look at the fact that these parties entered into, and there's sort of three key agreements, I would say, and two very important instruments. But the three agreements are the original farm out agreement, these kind of amendatory and superseding agreement of October the 8th, 2008. Yes. And then the joint operating agreement, which really superseded all of those and became the governing document. In all of those, the entire object of that, from Black Diamond's point of view, and I think the party's point of view, if you're fair about reading those documents carefully, was to that we would finally get the client, we would finally get our assignments. December of 17 is easily within 10 years of October of 08.
All right. One last follow-up, and then I need to back up because I want everyone to have a chance to answer the question. Is it a coincidence that the termination of the farm out agreement is 12/28/07 and the complaint was filed on 12/28/2017 with the 10-year statute of limitations?
I don't actually know that. I think that's it's fair to assume. By the way, the original, I came into this case when it was about 2 years old. The original counsel, a guy named Mike Kaminsky, died in the course of the proceedings below. But I think it's a fair inference to say, look, this might be a drop in, and all of us lawyers do this all the time. If you see a date that you think is a trigger date, is a tolling date, then you better file. So I don't actually know that from because by the time I came into the case, I think that issue had been raised. There had been motions to dismiss and other substantive motions that predated trial. But
okay, thank you. That answers my question on that. Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
So, Mr. Jorgensen, just focusing one more time on the statute of limitations. Yes. In order for your action not to be barred, we would have to conclude that the first time you knew or should have known you had a breach of contract claim was on December 28th, 2007, when Wold told BDE it considered all obligations ended.
Well, that being the case, they continue to hold out that those things will be done. And otherwise, how do you get an agreement on October the 8th of 2008 that includes that? And they say, well, and their position is, well, you breached that. Okay, you breached that, so you don't get it. But all of that, I'm just saying that all of that in the record and on both parties' documents and testimony, all of that continued to be in play to the point where they didn't even have a JOA until the fall of 2008, you know. So at all times, my client thought they were entitled to those assignments and that they were being promised to them. And I think that's the critical.
Well, the district court ruled against you on that and made a factual finding that your witness was not credible, that you kept asking for the assignments, and that we're bound by that credibility determination, right?
You are, but I don't see why the court can't look at objective facts.
This court is not a fact-finding court.
Well, no, but I understand that. I understand that. But I'm just saying the record is there, credibility or non-credibility, just in the documents. I would direct the court to the to that October 8th agreement. I'll give you the exhibit number if I can find it here, but it's 23, I think, maybe. And ask how that agreement made any sense, and how did the joint operating agreement make any sense whatsoever? So we're going to operate properties that we don't even get? Doesn't make sense. And those aren't credibility issues, I don't think.
Well, operating is different than owning, right? I mean, they're two separate.
Well, it is, but pardon the interruption. It is, but the way things work out there in the oil patch is it's rare that you would see a company have operations that doesn't own any interest in the field. Almost always the operator. Remember, the Black Diamond was the operator on day one. The operations changed later, but they were the operator on day one. And normally there are cases where you have that. This isn't one of them. The operator is going to be a working interest owner, or in this case, what we call a beneficial owner, one that is entitled to, is expecting to receive assignments. It already owned 25%, by the way, but it all fits together in exactly the way that suggests that on the day that JOA was entered into, per the October 08 agreement, that ownership, that beneficial ownership, really already existed. It's like we were just waiting for, where are the actual physical assignments that can be recorded in the real estate records?
Counsel, can I switch up to ask about the conversion claim? It looked to me like on that claim, you didn't even challenge the district court's finding that you were not a real party in interest on that claim because you didn't own the assets. I didn't see any challenge to that, which means that we could affirm on that ground.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
On the conversion claim?
Yes.
It didn't appear to me that you even challenged on appeal the district court's real party in interest determination, including that you're not a real party in interest because you don't own the assets.
I didn't understand. I'm not sure I understand, but all we were saying on that issue is it was quite clear that I think this is actually undisputed that when Wohl took over, they took possession of all that equipment and that there was no payment, even for a percentage interest in it. I think that's all we were saying, that the record was clear on that.
Okay.
If we were to agree that you did not substantially perform under the farm out agreement, would you agree with that you're not entitled to relief in the form of specific performance?
Well, yes, on that. But remember, I think what has been elided here, and I don't really even understand the district court's opinion in this regard, there's no doubt in the court's opinion and in its findings that we, the Black Diamond, originally purchased a 25%, and it's a field-wide interest. We own that 25% and we asked for an accounting on that.
Of course, well, you were given monthly accountings, right? You were apprised all the time of the financials, and what you were told was the amount you owed was greater than any amount of revenues generated. Your 25%, correct?
That's what they said.
It's okay, and you waited 10 years to request an accounting, right?
Well, I would respectfully say those are two different things. The fact that someone, an operator and a successor operator in this case, sends you self-generated, self-serving statements in which they're penalizing you to the tune of 300% because you supposedly are a non-consenting party when you're the ones that actually drilled these wells. You drilled and completed them. You spent by the court's by own finding.
Well, the court found you did not complete them, right? I mean, that's the issue. The court found you did not complete the wells.
He found that, yes.
Okay. Well, there was never during your period when you were in charge, the operator, there was never any CBM generated from these wells, although people adjacent were in fact getting coal bed methane extracted, correct?
Yes, Mindy. All we're saying is you can't have a look at the case we cited, the Cookson case. Very similar, I think. And I'm sorry for going over. I just want to answer the question. We don't do these farm out agreements, and there are a million varieties of those that I would put all into the general category of drill to earn rights. You don't spend $1 million and substantially complete, even if you didn't fully dewater, and the other party can have a claim coming back about that. Like, well, we're going to penalize you these dollars and that dollars, but you don't have a complete forfeiture. And I think Cookson says that. I'm supposed to drill a well every year, and they didn't do it. They didn't drill it. And the court said, well, yeah, but they
had a period of 5 years where they had to drill the wells, and they did drill and complete the wells. It just so happened that one of them didn't fall in a particular calendar year. It was slightly in the other year, so they had two in that year. And the court said the essence of the contract was met, and therefore there was substantial performance. Here, the court said the essence of the contract wasn't met because the essence of the contract was to, as quickly as possible, be able to extract coal bed methane from this pool that other people were also trying to access. So, and I'm sorry, Judge Phillips, for going over.
No, we have only five cases today, and this is a complex case, so we're fine. You can answer the question if
my question was, I see that it's very different here because the essence of the contract here was not met where it was in Crookston.
May I respond briefly? Or?
Yes, please.
As I read the Cookson case, the letter of the contract, and I think that's what substantial performance speaks against, is the draconian letter of the contract said drill a well every year and for 5 years. And two of those years, they drilled zero wells. And yes, the court said, yeah, but they drilled more in other years. It's good enough. But remember, there was a plaintiff in that case that wanted relief. They wanted two more wells. They prayed for that from the court, and it was denied on the basis of substantial performance. So that's it.
All right. Thank you for your argument, Mr. Klosterman.
May it please the court, Scott Klosterman on behalf of the Appalese Wold Oil Properties, LLC, and Chipcore, LLC. Appellant's briefing fails to identify what standard of review applies to the issues raised in this appeal. In an appeal from a bench trial, such as in this case, the district court's findings of fact are reviewed under the clearly erroneous standard and its conclusions of law are reviewed under the abuse of discretion standard. Appellant's briefing fails to articulate how the district court's findings of fact are clearly erroneous or how the district court's conclusions of law are an abuse of discretion. Instead, appellant simply urges a different interpretation of the evidence. However, in this case, the district court's bench or order on bench trial and its judgment is extremely well supported by the facts in this case, an analysis of those facts, and an application of the controlling law.
Let me ask you about one piece of those facts in the ruling, which is the real party and interest ruling. Not sure I understand the district court's ruling there on the claims apart from the conversion one, in that Peter D. received by assignment all of BDE's rights. And so why would that not include the right to sue on the claims that Peter D. is now suing on?
Your Honor, the assignment from Peter D. to, I'm sorry, from Black Diamond Energy to Peter D. in 2014 specifically states that is an assignment of its working interest.
Well, doesn't it? What about the word all? The word all is in that assignment.
And all of its contract, all of its working interest doesn't include any choses in action in regards to any contractual or equitable claims.
How do you know that? What do you rely on that? I mean, working interest is kind of a vague term. How do you know it doesn't include choses in action?
Because the case law, as we've cited in our brief, indicates that when you are making an assignment, you have to make an assignment with specificity and particularity so that the parties or others who are reading that can determine what is the subject matters that are being assigned. And here, it's very clear that the assignment is limited to its working interest. But, Your Honors, in all respects, this issue of the real party in interest is, in fact, a complete red herring. And why is it a red herring? Because Judge Rankin addressed all of the plaintiff's claims on their merits. So the question of whether or not Peter D. was, in fact, the real party in interest as to all of these claims is not relevant to its ultimate determination that as a matter of law, all of the claims asserted were in fact insufficient to establish a basis for whether it was a breach of contract, whether it was specific performance, rescission, conversion. Judge Rankin decided all of those claims on its merits, and therefore the court really, it's not an issue, I believe, of significance here.
Please, after you.
I was just going to ask if you could explain for me the judicial estoppel ruling that the district court seemed to make as an additional alternative holding to the real party and interest conclusion. And you, in your brief, you discuss the judicial estoppel holding. You say it should be affirmed, but I'm pretty confused about what was the reason for that estoppel holding? It wasn't really clear why the court went there.
So, Your Honor, as you may recall in the appellant's opening brief, they essentially have argued that Black Diamond Energy and Black Diamond Energy of Delaware were in fact the same, and that they were right. One and the same entities, that they had the same ownership, the same operations, and that they were treated as such. Whereas in the case that was submitted to the Wyoming Supreme Court, there was in fact specific statements that as it related to the claims with the Oil and Gas Commission, that those were separately owned and managed companies.
Right. I understood all that. I guess I'm trying to understand what the significance of its conclusion was in this case, that they were judicially stopped from making the contrary argument here.
I think it was just simply that they were not being allowed to take inconsistent positions in these two different courts, one in the Wyoming Supreme Court and before the Federal District Court in Wyoming. But I don't
believe it actually impact any of the conclusions is what I'm asking.
I don't believe so.
No one seems to be able to explain that.
And if it didn't, then you can't meet the third prong of judicial estoppel, which we shouldn't apply, that we very restrictively apply. So I'm having, I mean, I don't think it matters because I do agree it's a red herring, but I have some concerns like Judge Moritz does over that judicial estoppel ruling. Can I turn your attention to unjust enrichment? You have a situation where the appellants did not meet their deadline in terms of dewatering these wells to get them ready for production. And it's, I think, 3.5 years before the letter goes out saying we're canceling the farm out agreement. And during this time, they're continuing to expend money and effort to try to develop those wells. Doesn't that sound a little bit like an unjust, a legitimate unjust enrichment claim?
Your Honor, to answer that question, you have to understand that the very essence of the farm out agreement is for purposes of developing the coal bed methane gas. And as part of that process, as the court may be aware, in any coal bed methane gas production, before you can actually produce gas, you have to dewater the coal seam. And that is a critical aspect of being able to bring these wells online and start producing. From the time that Black Diamond Energy started the commencement of drilling in 2003, at no time did they ever dewater any of these wells. In fact, they had done nothing to actually hook up these wells in order for them to be dewatered. And we know that fact because in the state of Wyoming, if a operator is going to produce any produced water, they have to report that to the Wyoming Oil and Gas Commission. And for all of these wells that are at issue, the first time that there was any dewatering of these wells occurred in 2009 after Wold had taken over as operator of these particular
wells. That's the premise of my question, is that they did not complete the wells, they did not dewater them, and you couldn't have production of CBM without dewatering. So there's, right then, there's a breach. They didn't meet the requirements in terms of their deadline under the farm out agreement. And my question is, why wait 3.5 years to tell them that we're not going to honor the obligations to give you give you an ownership interest in these wells, but we're going to let you keep trying to complete, even though we've already decided your completion is too late?
Your Honor, that assumes the fact that they were actually performing work to do further work to dewater these particular wells, and there's no evidence that they ever did that. The fact of the matter is that as a working interest owner, Wold, as well as other working interest owners, have many other properties of which they were concerned about, and really, they had left it up to Black Diamond to do its work as indicated in the farm out agreement, and it was very specific about what their requirements were. The fact is that the delay as far as the termination didn't change the fact that they could no longer earn these additional interests because they didn't comply. They didn't.
So my question is, Holdings no longer can get the interest in the wells because they didn't meet the deadline. But Holding alleges it's continuing to do work for the benefit of Wold for another 3.5 years before it is informed, no matter how hard you keep working, you can't fix your breach. That's what I'm trying to get you to focus on.
And Your Honor, please consider that the work that is being done by Black Diamond would be for its own benefit, meaning it is a working interest owner already in 25, it has a 25% working interest ownership. So to the extent that it is performing work to further these wells, it's doing so for not only its own benefit, but all of the other working interest owners. So it's not as if it is not itself reaping some benefit because of any additional work. That doesn't change the fact that they could no longer earn because they failed to comply with the terms of the farm out agreement.
Is there a reason that you waited so long to advise them that the farm out was terminated?
The reason is simple, Your Honor, is that Wold was doing things in other fields throughout the country and throughout Wyoming that this was not of significance as far as the timing of when they issued their letter terminating them or terminating the farm out agreement. But certainly, if you look at the facts, we know that in 2008, the parties entered into a letter agreement whereby Black Diamond specifically acknowledged and accepted that all of the costs associated with the drilling and completion of those 14 wells would be their sole responsibility. Furthermore, by entering into the 2008 letter agreement, they acknowledged that they had no ability to earn any additional interest because the farm out had terminated. They did that because they understood that it would benefit them as a working interest owner. But that letter agreement was so that the parties clearly understood that there was no longer an ability by Black Diamond to earn any additional interest. And that simply they were trying to resolve the issues with regards to payment, that would who would be paying for the first 14 wells, and then any additional drilling, who would be responsible for those costs.
But you're really not helping with the unfairness question. What's your answer to saying it took us 3.5 years to notify them is we were busy? But what if 2.5 years later, they had managed to complete the well? They were dewatering, they had the hookups ready. At that point, you still would have sent them a letter saying, sorry, but you're out of luck. You didn't make it all the way back in May of 2004.
No, Your Honor, it's simply that they didn't have the ability to earn the additional working interest.
Right.
They already had their...
Tell them that. You'd tell them, sorry, even though we didn't tell you that the farm out is terminated, and even though it's 2 years later and you've gone to the work of dewatering and setting up the apparatus to supply the coal bed methane, then you would still send them a letter that said you missed the target dates of the farm out, so you lose on your additional 25%.
Your Honor, I think this all assumes that Wold was in a position of forcing Black Diamond to do anything. That certainly was not the case. They, whatever work that they decided that they wanted to do following the time that they should have completed that, that was at their own peril. The contract speaks for itself about what obligations they had, the timing for those obligations, and if they failed to comply with that, then they lost the right to earn these additional interests.
Why did you ever terminate it then? Sounds like it's self-terminating.
Why did Wold have to send a letter to that effect?
Yeah.
I don't believe that it was necessary, but it certainly put the Black Diamond on notice that that was the position that Wold was taking. I think by its very terms, they had failed to comply with it. And because of that, they failed the ability or they lost the opportunity to earn any additional interest.
The 25% ownership that Black Diamond, which is now Holdings, had in this area obligated them to expend a certain amount in terms of development, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. I think you're referring to the program deposit.
I think it's 25 million. Is that, am I right?
No, not, maybe it's 2.5 million.
Okay, maybe it's 2.5. All right. But my question is, did they go over that during this 3.5 years?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And Your Honor, as it relates to the program deposit, that's really step three of this whole farm out agreement, meaning Black Diamond first had an initial obligation to drill two initial wells, and that had to be done by December 31st of 2003. If they satisfied that condition, then they could earn 25% working interest in the drill spacing unit around those wells. Step two was they could drill and complete 8 what we call additional wells by May 1st of 2004. And if they had done that, then they would earn a 25% working interest in the drill spacing unit around those wells.
But let me interrupt. All of these subsequent things were conditional on first qualifying for the first wells, correct? Because they all start with the phrase, it's something like, you know, if you got these initial wells, you have a right to try to earn more.
I see that I'm out of time. Can I answer that question, Your Honor?
Yes, please.
Yes, you are correct that all of these were conditioned precedents that were stepped on top of each other. And on behalf of the appellees, we would respectfully request that this court affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Welcome. Are there any other questions I should ask? We have some time. All right. Mr. Jorgensen, we hardly ever do this, and I'm going to hold you to it, but we'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal and 1 minute alone, unless there are additional questions. Go ahead.
I would just emphasize on the accounting side of this that, again, not only were those 14 wells drilled substantially, they're, when all was said and done, we drilled 31 wells out there. We haven't received a single nickel of revenue. Other owners, the operator itself, WOP, Old Oil, they're paying themselves. They're paying the other owners in the field, and they're offsetting tremendous penalty amounts against us and sending us black box statements. There's something wrong there. There's just something wrong when you do that kind of work and you spend even the amount that the district court found we spent. And 10 production years later, more than 10 production years later, in many cases, you haven't received a single nickel. Somebody needs to explain that. And I think that's what an accounting is. It's a piece of paper. It's not money. It's a piece of paper or a whole bunch of pieces of paper. So,
all right. Thank you both for your arguments. We appreciate your time today and the help that you've given us, and the case is submitted.